All right. Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening and those of us that are online. Stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing We Are an Offering. We lift our voices. We lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you, we are an offering. Lord, use our voices, Lord, use our hands, Lord, use our lives, they are yours, we are an our hands, we lift our lives up to you, we are an offering, we are an offering, and all that we have, all that we are, and all that we hope to be, we give to you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Thank you. it covers me. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. We must pray for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We must pray for all the children of the world. We must help the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We must help the little children of the world. Amen. Anybody got a pick of him? A tune you've been thinking of? Yep. 5:10? All righty. Heaven Came Down. That's a good one. Yeah, we hadn't got to sing that one in a little bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Can't hear you, man. Can't hear. Got online folks, good to have you tonight. Good to see everybody tonight. Amen. Want to continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, right? Ukraine. Getting pretty dire over there. I think they said like 2.1 million people have left the country into Poland and other countries around Ukraine. So, do we have any praises? Praises? Brother John's got a praise. Uh-oh.
I had the honor to go to a celebration of life today.
For that, Chris?
Chris in League City.
All the way to League City. Amen.
Yes, sir. And what a blessing that was.
Amen, man.
Spoke very highly of how God can change a person and what a blessing he had become to God and constantly witnessed for God and blessing every time he was around people talking about Jesus.
Amen. What was his church down there, did they,
It was Life Point Church.
Life Point Church. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Outstanding. Old Brother Chris, he was retired HPD, is that correct?
Oh, he was 61 years old.
61?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we thought he was a little younger than that. Yeah, 61. But he was retired with HPD. He had put in a
full driver.
Truck driver. Okay, amen. All right. Any other praises tonight? It's a good word.
Praise the Lord for the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the word. You got it.
Praise the Lord. I made it through the traffic in Houston.
Yeah, man, because you had to go through. Did you go the Beltway?
I went straight 45.
Oh, you went 45, so you're a brave man.
Man.
You drive 45 these days. You a brave man, boy. I tell you, that 45 is some.
Either that or another 110 miles around the other way.
Oh, my son. You don't have a tag?
I do.
Oh, you do have a tag. I hear you. All right. Well, you brave going down 45. Amen. Anybody got an encouraging word or praise back? You got a praise back there, buddy?
Yes. Earlier I wasn't on the mic. I just said, praise the Lord, we're more blessed than we deserve. Sharon, there's a praise in the chat. Sharon cooked. Praise the Lord. And then physical therapist starting to wean off the wheelchair and more on walkie, but still not a lot of weight on the foot.
Okay. Well, amen. Good to have Sharon tonight. I'm glad she's making some improvement. That's good. Good, good, good. Amen. How's her daughter doing?
Somewhat better.
Somewhat better. Her name again was? Kenzie. That's right. Kenzie, somewhat better. All right, all right. Very good. All right. Any other prayer? You got prayer needs? Yes, sir.
My daughter Renee's father-in-law, the one that they had to put in.
Yeah.
He's really rebellion, very
rebelling.
Bad. Yeah, he's throwing things at people, and
he doesn't want to be there.
He don't want to be there. He has what they call a front load Alzheimer's. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Yeah.
What it is that he don't lose all of his total memory, just a little bit, and it comes right back.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he does have
dementia?
Yeah, and the shaking.
Okay.
Yeah, but he knows them still. He knows he wants to be home.
Yeah.
But he's a pretty good-sized man.
Yeah.
And his wife's very small, man. She's 4'11".
Right.
And he falls a lot. She cannot pick him
she
up.
She cannot pick
That's
him up.
That's why he's there, you know.
And what's his name?
His name is Robert. They call him Bubba, but his name is Robert Hess.
Robert Hess.
Robert Hess.
Say it again.
What is
Man, Hest?
I hope I'm saying that right. Boy, I get myself in trouble all the time.
Robert Hest?
Hester.
Okay.
Hester.
Wait, Robert.
Yeah, Hester. Hester, I got it wrong.
Robert Hester.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Dementia. Alzheimer's. All right, all right. What else? Anything else?
Sharon typed better in the chat, just I guess based on what you said earlier.
Okay. Oh, better. Amen. Amen. All right. Very good. All right. Anything else? All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our Bible study tonight. Amen. With this many, we ain't going to keep you an hour and a half. All right. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come together and sing praises. Just a few of us here tonight, Lord, but we've got the Holy Spirit with us, and we got the Word of God with us, and so, Lord, we're going to celebrate it and study it tonight and get into it. And so we just praise you and thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We pray for those that wanted to be here that couldn't, and, Lord, those that need to be here that just hadn't figured that out yet, we pray you draw them in here to us. And, Lord, we're thankful for those that are with us online, and, Father God, we just praise you for all your goodness and your grace that we sang about tonight. We are thankful for the celebration of life tonight, Lord, for Brother Chris and his quick passing from this stage 4 cancer, Lord. But we're thankful that we know where Chris is. He was saved, a Christian. He's in the presence of you now. So we just praise you, Lord, for his life and all that you did through him. Lord, we are continually thanking you for Sharon's improvement, and she's getting better and better each and every day, each and every week, each and every month. We just pray you continue to heal that part of her body up, that foot, and, Lord, allow her to put more and more weight on it as she gets stronger and that foot comes back together. We're thankful that Kenzie, her daughter, is doing somewhat better with her issues that we talked about last week. And then, Lord, we pray for Robert Hester. We lift him up to you tonight. Gentleman with dementia and Alzheimer's and in the nursing home and doesn't want to be there, Lord, we pray you'd give him a spirit of calmness and give him a spirit of peace and Help him know that, Lord, people aren't trying to hurt him, but they're trying to help him. And, Lord, we just pray for his wife as she has to deal with the drama of that and all the emotion of it, Lord. And she, I know she's got to be torn several different directions as she thinks about what's going on with her husband there. So, Lord, we just pray that you would help that situation. You would bring calmness and peace to Robert's mind, Lord, and you would help him make that transition peacefully and accept it, Lord, as he's in a different place in his life, and this is where he's going to have to be from now on. Lord, we continue to pray for the country of Ukraine. We pray for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for those Ukrainian freedom fighters, Lord, and Father God, we pray for those people that have come from all over the world to take up arms to defend the country of Ukraine. Lord, I pray that you be with them. Be with those families as they, so many have lost loved ones, civilians. Being told, Lord, that they can leave, and then once they start to leave, the shells start to fall. And Lord, we've seen and heard of hospitals being shelled and bombed and all kinds of crazy stuff, Lord. And we just pray that you help those folks. Help the countries that are surrounding Ukraine, that are friendly to democracy, where these folks have fled. We pray that you would provide for their needs and you would help these countries. You would bless these countries, Lord, for extending a hand and a temporary home to these folks as they wait for their country to be delivered. And, Lord, we would pray it would be delivered. We pray that the Russian aggression would be beaten back to Moscow, back across the border. We pray that Russia would not take one square mile of that country, that it would all be returned back to the people of Ukraine. And, Lord, we just pray that you be with our president and you be with those other NATO leaders and, Lord, help them formulate and come up and just work this thing so that they can help the Ukrainians best way they can to make all this end, Lord. It looks like a long, drawn-out thing, but, God, you're in control. And if you want this thing to be over in a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it be, God, you're in control. So, Lord, we're just asking for minimal loss of life. We're praying for those families that have lost loved ones. And, Lord, we're even praying for those Russian families who have lost military men as they've come across the border. Lord, comfort them and be with them and help them. Lord, I pray a special prayer for my cousin who's over there and her husband. Lord, I pray that you protect them in the midst of all this as they're in Russia. And, Lord, just help them as they go through this on the other side of it, being in Russia and not in Ukraine. But, Lord, we give you the praise and glory tonight for your word. We thank you for saving us, Lord, and we thank you for all you want to do through us and with us. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Now, my cousin, I was having a little email conversation with her this morning. Of course, I don't know how many hours apart we are, 10 hours or 11 hours or something. But she basically, you know, my perception or my opinion, she's drinking the Russian Kool-Aid over there. And I wanted to tell her, I did tell her in the email, Russia's on the wrong side of this. And basically the gist of my email to her was, you know, when a people group believe in a truth and freedom and democracy, and they're willing to take up arms and defend that, that trumps any standing professional army. Unless you bomb them to oblivion, unless you destroy their whole country, if you come in there on foot, you're going to let, it's not going to work out the way you thought it did. And I think Putin's finding that out, But anyway, she disagreed with that, and she's been living in Russia now for over 30 years, coming back and forth to the States, going to Russia. She married a Russian, nice guy, I like him, named Victor, you know. So, great guy, but man, I think they're on the wrong side of it. But anyway, time will tell, history will tell. Amen? Yes, sir, brother. I believe that. I believe that. And part of me, John, wanted to believe, because my cousin is really smart. I mean, she is off the chart. Mensa, you know, that organization. I mean, she's got an IQ like you would not believe. She is smart. And I almost halfway believe that she was putting this email out because she emailed a bunch of people. I almost thought maybe she's just fishing for information because she's not getting any. And so I tried to give her some. I mean, I kind of played the game, you know. Told her about the 3,000 United States citizens that are going over there. They've signed up and they're paying their way to go over there to fight the Ukrainians. And then the 16,000 people across the world, 3,000 included in that are Americans, but 16,000 people across the world have signed up to fight for the Ukrainian Defense Legion, man. I mean, you've got people. 850, everybody's pulling out. I mean, it's unbelievable. Day after day, there's another company. Pepsi said they were going to stay in there and continue to make their baby formula and something else. But as far as their Coke products, and I didn't know this, Pepsi's been there for 60 years. Pepsi's been there in Russia for 60 years. They were saying when Russia had no money that they would have to trade, you know, their vodka and their other stuff for the products to make the Pepsi stuff. I mean, it was just, Pepsi's been there for 6 years. Well, take your Bibles. Let's get into this. And I want to say this may be our last Bible study on these first six verses. I talked about doing four Bible studies on the fourfold hallelujah. We're in 19, 1 through 6. We've read it a few times. We'll read it one more time tonight. The Word of God reads this. Those of you with us online, Revelation 19, 1 through 6, you're more than welcome to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God if you feel led to do that. Word of God reads, after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, that's the first one. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God because His judgments are true and righteous, for He has judged the great harlot, that's Babylon, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. These are people that had not taken the mark of the beast. And a second time they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Now we understand those people saying that as the angelic host, okay? No telling how many, hundreds of thousands, millions, who knows, how many angels are shouting this hallelujah. And then it gets into verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. There's your third one. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder saying, hallelujah. There's the fourth one. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've already covered heaven praises God for salvation. We've already covered that because God's judgments are true and righteous. We've already covered heaven praises God because God's judgments are permanent. We've talked about that. We've already covered heaven praises God because God is in control. Amen? You got to believe that if you're a brother and brother or sister in Christ, He's in control. We talked a little bit last week, or reviewed a little bit with you, the term hallelujah. Let me ask you a couple of diagnostic questions, just make sure you're paying attention, or you've been paying attention through the Bible studies. How many times does hallelujah appear in the New Testament? Anybody remember that? Anybody online? How many times does hallelujah appear? Four times, and it's only in this chapter. That's right, Brother John. Four times only in this chapter. Where does hallelujah appear in the Old Testament? Does anybody remember that? No, not quite. The phrase may be in Isaiah, but it first gets going in Psalm 104:35, and hallelujah in the Old Testament is not hallelujah. Hallelujah in the Old Testament is a phrase, okay? The phrase is praise the Lord, all right? So when you see that, praise the Lord, that is the New Testament form that you have in the book of Revelation 19 of hallelujah. Now, On Sunday night, we said in agreement with the angelic chorus, hallelujahs ring out from other heavenly residents. And so we began to unpack who these folks are. We started with the 24 elders, and we said, after a lengthy review all the way back to Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, that the 24 elders are redeemed and glorified in heaven, humans and not angels. And we spent quite a bit of time reviewing that. We tried to make sense of who these 24 elders represent. And basically what we came down to was this. We said a conservative consensus of Orthodox scholarship reveals to us that these 24 elders probably represent either Israel and the church, in other words, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, makes 24, or they simply represent the church, 24 elders representing the New Testament church, right? Either way, their presence in and around the throne room of God will be incredible when we experience that, those of us that are saved, all together one day in the future. Amen? That leaves us with just one other group here in these verses that we want to talk about tonight. And we see them there in verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures. The four living creatures. Who might the four living creatures be? If you'll take your book of Revelation and go back to Revelation chapter 4, we leave no stone unturned, and we want to make sure as we end the book, we understand who these players are and who these people are and who these things are that we found all the way back in the beginning of the book. So in Revelation chapter 4, the Word of God reads here in verse 5, out from the throne come flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lampstands, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Verse 6, and before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Amen? And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever. Amen? So, who are the four living creatures? The four living creatures. This passage in Revelation 4, all the way back, a long, long time ago, we started this study on the book of Revelation. They, four living creatures, these guys will play, and we see them playing that in Revelation 19. They will play a significant role in the events that unfold in Revelation. And through the Bible studies, we have seen them in the middle of it. They are said to be both in the center and around the throne, means that their station is in the inner circle nearest the very throne of God. Now, the similar passage, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, we'll look at a couple verses here. Similar passage in Ezekiel chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. You found that, Ezekiel 1? Those of you turning there? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, major prophet, Lamentations, Ezekiel, something like that. You get there? Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and each went straight forward wherever the Spirit was about to go, they would go without turning as they went. 1:17 says, whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. This whole front end of this chapter is about these living creatures. these four living creatures here. Okay? The translation back in Revelation chapter 4 calls them living creatures, and that's somewhat misleading since these four things are not animals. All right? They're not animals at all. The phrase derives from a single word in the Greek text, the noun from the verb zeo, which means to live. All right? Ezekiel gives a detailed description of these incredible beings and of the glorious magnificence of heaven and God's throne. Again, I'll refer to it, Ezekiel chapter 1. You can read all about it, verses 4 through verse 25. Ezekiel's description in that passage, verses 4 through 25, appears incomprehensible, almost incoherent, as he struggled to make sense out of the spectacular supernatural scene that he, Ezekiel, witnessed. Both Ezekiel's description and that in Revelation chapter 4, that is then referred to again in Revelation 19, describe what could be called the divine war machine ready to unleash judgment. The divine war machine ready to unleash judgment. Ezekiel 10:15 specifically identifies these four living beings. I'll read you the passage, Ezekiel 10:15. Then the cherubim rose up. They are the living beings that I saw by the river Chebar. So the four living creatures are thus cherubim, an exalted order of angels frequently associated in Scripture with God's holy power. Now, I'll give you some examples of these cherubim. After Adam and Eve sinned, God drove them out of Eden. Remember that? And he stationed a cherubim at the entrance to keep them from returning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Two carved cherubim were placed in the Holy of Holies, also called the Most Holy Place, symbolically guarding what? God's holiness on top of or on either side of the Ark of the Covenant. Satan, before his fall, was the anointed cherub who covers. His duty was to attend God's throne. So apparently there were five at one time around the throne. Now there's only four because this one, the devil, Satan, he got to boot. Amen? He is no longer there. You can read about that, Ezekiel 28:14. All right? John, like Ezekiel, struggled to capture the reality in incomprehensible terms to describe the indescribable scene before him. First, he said, the living creatures were full of eyes in front and behind. Now, that's kind of a weird thing to think about. Something covered with eyes front and back. What? What is that? Ezekiel 1:18 refers to that. Ezekiel 10:12 refers to that. What do we take from that? Well, scholars tell us that that symbolizes their awareness. That symbolizes their alertness. That symbolizes their comprehensive knowledge. Though the cherubim are not omniscient, not like God, they don't know everything, nothing pertaining to their duties escapes their scrutiny. They've got an eye on everything. Ezekiel's description of these angels notes that each one possessed all four facial features, Ezekiel chapter 1:6. But from John's vantage point, he didn't see all four. He said the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature was like a calf. I'm back in Revelation 4, if you're wondering. And the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Those descriptions view the four cherubim in relation to the created world. The lion represents wild creatures. The calf, domestic animals. The flying eagle, creatures, the eagle, flying creatures. And man, of course, the pinnacle of God's creation. Amen? Still with me? Yes, yes? So, symbolically, the lion represents strength, the calf represents service, The man represents reason, and the eagle represents speed. Now, anyone ever heard of what's called the Talmud? And your Sunday school lessons, the Talmud? Has that ever come up? The Talmud. What in the world is Pastor Lee talking about the Talmud? The Talmud is a collection of books and commentary compiled by Jewish rabbis from about A.D. 250 to A.D. 500. The Hebrew word Talmud means study or learning. This is a fitting title for a work that is a library of Jewish wisdom, a library of Jewish philosophy, of Jewish history, of Jewish legend, of Jewish astronomy, dietary laws, scientific debates, medicine, and mathematics. It's kind of like the journal for everything for the Hebrew world, the Jewish world, way back AD 250 to AD 500. The Talmud is made up of interpretation and commentary of the Mosaic and rabbinical law contained in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is an exhaustive collection of laws and guidelines for observing the law of Moses, all right? So you can see this thing gets layered, it gets big, it's huge, there's a lot to it. As a guide to following the law, the Talmud also serves as a basis for spiritual formation. It would be kind of like a book on Jewish discipleship. More than 2,000 scholars or rabbis worked across a period of about 250 years to understand the meaning of God's word for their particular situation. Out of these efforts, they produced the Talmud. The Talmud saw in these four creatures four primary forms of life in God's creation. The Talmud also noted that the 12 tribes of Israel camped under these four banners. Some camped with Reuben. Reuben was symbolized by a man. Others camped with Dan. Dan symbolized by an eagle. Others camped with Ephraim. Ephraim symbolized by the calf or ox. And the rest of the folks, they were with Judah, right? Symbolized by a lion. The four living creatures that we read about here in Revelation 4:4, that's referred back to in Ezekiel chapter 1 and other places in the book of Ezekiel. The four living creatures, like angels in general, are deeply involved with the coming judgments of the tribulation, which we've just covered. We've just covered those things, right? And these guys, we have seen them, and we're going back reviewing them, affirming that they have done what? They have played an integral role, or they will play an integral role in the judgments of the earth. These special angels will be there at the outset of divine judgment. As one of their number, one of these cherubim, calls forth the rider on the white horse in Revelation 6, verses 1 through 2. Another will decree economic disaster upon the earth in Revelation 6:6, while another will give the seven angels involved in the bowl judgments their bowls in Revelation 15:7. Their six wings denote that their supreme responsibility and privilege is to constantly worship God. From Isaiah's vision, we learn that the seraphim, possibly the same beings as the cherubim, used their six wings in the following manner. With two, they covered their faces. With the other two, they covered their feet. And with the other two, they flew. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Four of their six wings related to worship. How so? With two, they covered their faces, since even the most exalted created beings cannot look on the unveiled glory of God without being consumed. They also used two wings to cover their feet, since they stood on holy ground. When we think about these guys, all the way back in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, or 19:4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Worship is thus their privilege, it's their calling, and it's their permanent occupation. They surround the very glory throne of God. They're moving about around it, they're flying in mid-heaven around it, and they're saying their worship for all eternity. If the glory of God wants to go to this place in time or this point here in the universe or whatever, these four, used to be five, these four are there. All right? With two wings covering their faces, two wings covering their feet, and two wings flying. Amen? Any questions? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, 24 elders. No difference. Same. That's why we went back and reviewed it. Yeah, yeah. You get more detail in Revelation 4. When we get here to Revelation 19, the book is coming to a close. He's already covered that. He's already unpacked it. But it's been so long since we've looked at Revelation 4 because we had the pandemic in the middle of it. It behooves us to go back and look and have that fresh in our minds as we go forward, coming out of this, now going into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? Same 24, I would have to look at that passage, but I would say, yeah. Yeah, I would have to look at that passage, but just off the top of my head, I'd say, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Ezekiel's seeing the same kind of thing that John's seeing. Yeah, amen. So, good, good. Any questions? No? Any questions online? All right, well, you guys have been patient. You've been paid attention. So let's close it out, amen. Miss Bickey, anything? You got your notes, amen. Right, right, right. Did you have any, well, you may have some notes back from when we covered this the first time. All right, yeah. Amen, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to break down again and study and review on who these four living creatures are. Lord, we believe from the testimony of the Bible that they are a high-ranking, exalted group of angels. Lord, we believe from the Bible that this is where Satan was before he was kicked out, Lord, and sent down to this earth. Lord, we praise You and thank You that there's four cherubim around Your throne. We praise You and thank You that, Lord, Your name and Your glory is continually worshipped. Lord, may their worship motivate us with our free will and free choice to worship You. Thank You that we have the privilege to do that and the opportunity in the church, in the music, and the songs, in the Bible to do it. We praise You and thank You, Lord, that You count us worthy. That, Lord, in spite of us, we get to praise You and worship You and live with You for all eternity, Lord. We praise You and thank You for that. Give us safety tonight, Lord, as we leave this place. Be with us, watch over us. And, Lord, we just it was good to be with You tonight. We praise You for that. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, online folks, we'll see you next time. God bless you.